Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do we go to cemeteries? Why do we go to these places? What do we expect to happen? What do we hope to do ourselves when we go to a cemetery? And there's probably varied reasons, but I think some of them are we maybe go to relive some memories, and I would hope that for the most part those are happy memories, though I'm sure that there's many sad ones attributed to that as well, some painful ones. Maybe you go there to ask questions, and let's be frank, they probably won't be answered. I'm sure many people go to a cemetery to get some closure or to get more closure, to continue the process of grieving. And these are all good things, but quite often when we go to a cemetery, we don't go with any hope or any grand expectations. The same is true of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary as they go to visit the grave of Jesus. Scripture tells us, Matthew tells us, that as they go there, they simply go to see the grave. They weren't able to go earlier because the Sabbath came and they needed to be home to celebrate the Sabbath and to take part in that. It wasn't permitted for them to be out. So as soon as they can on that Sunday morning, they are out and going to see the grave. Matthew doesn't tell us anything more than that. He doesn't tell us whether they're going to prepare the body or to actually see Jesus. We know that there's a stone rolled there that they probably won't be able to move. It's too massive for them. They simply go as mourners. They go as defeated disciples. There's no hope. There's no expectation. And even though dawn is breaking on that first Easter morning, these two women still carry the darkness of Good Friday with them. At the cemetery, Mary and Mary expect only to see the dead. And they do. And this is a surprising detail about Matthew's gospel. They do see the dead. But they don't see the dead in the tomb where they probably expected to see the dead or where we might expect to see the dead. Instead, Matthew tells us where they see the dead. In Matthew 28, starting at verse 2 again, suddenly a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. And sitting on that stone, it's like a mockery of death. He's sitting there in triumph over it. But then listen to here. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down as though they were dead. The dead ones at the tomb, as Matthew describes it, are unbelievers, are people who didn't have faith in Jesus. These guards are there. They're there as representatives of the Roman government that crucified Jesus. They're there as representatives of the chief priests, the elders, the people that demanded Jesus to be crucified. The dead that are there are unbelievers. Matthew could have said simply the guards fainted, because that's probably what happened, or that they collapsed, or that they were incapacitated by the fear that overwhelmed them from the earthquake and the angel, but instead he tells us they were dead. The only dead at this cemetery are the unbelievers. And this is how Scripture talks about those and us when we have no faith in Christ. Ephesians 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Colossians will say the same thing. You were dead in your trespasses and your sins. But both those verses are followed by a but, a big but. But in Christ, you have been saved by grace through faith. In the ground or not, apart from faith in Christ, we are dead in our sins, like the guards. Now, why does Matthew describe it this way? What's he trying to get at? I think he's just really clever. It's a beautifully written gospel. All the gospel writers are like this. The Spirit is working them, in them, through them, to put these things together in these beautiful ways of masterpiece. And what he's doing is he's giving an answer to something he previously said at the crucifixion of Jesus. Listen to this strange detail that sometimes we overlook that's only found in Matthew's gospel. This is in Matthew 27 at verse 52, and here's the scene. The skies were dark. It was the middle of the day. It's the brightest part of the day, but darkness has come upon the land. And Jesus breaks that darkness, that silence, with his cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, the temple curtain tears in two from top to bottom. There's a great earthquake. Rocks split apart. And then Matthew tells us this. Graves opened. And many of God's people were raised to life. They left their graves, and after Jesus had risen to life, they went into the holy city where they were seen by many people. Talk about a wild thing to see. Jesus is crucified, and when he's raised, all of a sudden other people who were known to be dead and buried are walking around. The death and resurrection of Christ has such a cosmic effect that even some of the saints and believers buried nearby, God's people, people who had faith in him, are raised to life and bursting from their own tombs. It's a sign. It's a glimpse of the magnitude of this Easter morning. What it means for all those who die in faith in Christ. See, the resurrection of Jesus is the victorious beginning of something to be shared with all those who have faith in Christ. When you go to a cemetery, what should you do? What expectations should you have? It is perfectly fine, it is healthy, and I would say it is good to relive memories, to work through certain things, to ask questions, to seek closure. I would even say if you need to write a letter to your loved one, if you need to speak out loud to your loved one at that cemetery, go ahead and do so. But go also in the hope and the expectation that our loved ones who died in Christ will someday rise again with him. Go also knowing that that plot of ground that's reserved for you will not be your final resting place. That the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruit of things to come for you who believe and trust in him. This is the good news of Easter morning. Amen.